Allow me to bring a word of encouragement to the new couple. I would like to share a short sermon that I have entitled The Request of the Beloved. The Request of the Beloved, and it is taken from the Song of Solomon. The Song of Solomon, chapter 2 and verse 15, or Song of Songs, as commonly known, chapter 2 and verse 15. I'm reading from the ESV. The Bible says, "Catch the foxes for us, the little foxes that spoil the vineyard, for our vineyards are in blossom." I will read it again. He says, "Catch the foxes for us, the little foxes that spoil the vineyards, for our vineyards are in blossom." Well, the Song of Songs, as it is commonly called, or the Song of Solomon, is simply a song in which Solomon, king of Israel, and his beloved, someone whom he shared with true love. It is a song in which they celebrate and depict the journey of their love from the time of courtship to the time of their marriage. It is commonly called the Song of Songs because of the many songs that Solomon had written. This one included in the Bible, was actually the best. If you look closely at this song, you will notice that two people dominate this true life dramatic love song: Solomon, who appears as the beloved, and a Shulamite woman whose identity to this day remains unknown. But most biblical scholars believe that it is probably that young lady, when David was growing old, and when the advisors thought of finding him a young woman, a virgin that would simply keep him warm, it is believed that that same young lady that was chosen later would become Solomon's first wife and his true love before he sinned and added the 699 more wives and 300 concubines. So that record, that depiction of this love that Solomon shared with this Shulamite woman is what we find in the book that we are studying. So this song, as you will also see, it is actually a dialogue. It is a dialogue between Solomon and his bride and their friends. And it has a progression of how their love develops from courtship through the wedding ceremony and finally, in the aftermath of their wedding, their marriage, and the life that they then live together. And the passage that we are considering together is found in their stage of their courtship and in the section where the bride is now expressing her delight. She is expressing her delight in her beloved. And one of the things that she does, that as she is expressing the joy, the delight that she has in her beloved, is to remember the request that Solomon gave her. And that request is what we find in the passage we are looking at. "Catch the foxes for us, little foxes that spoil the vineyard, for our vineyards are in blossom." The picture that is given here is that of, Palestine or the Middle East. They actually have a culture of cultivating grapes or planting those special gardens where grapes would grow. And those special gardens are called vineyards. And so because this is a poem, Solomon borrows from that picture of a vineyard and everything that surrounds the life of cultivating a vineyard, he borrows that picture and uses it as a metaphor to represent the love that he shares with this woman and the threats that are to their love, and how then they must do something in order to arrest those threats. Now, if there was one thing that was a nuisance, one thing that was a threat to vineyards, it was foxes. It was foxes. And henceforth, the reference that we see in the request. And here is the point. Here is the point that is made in our passage. In case you will forget everything that I will say, here is the one thing I want you to remember. The main point in this passage is this. Solomon is simply requesting his bride. He is simply petitioning his bride. He is simply asking his bride that in light of our love maturing, in light of our love blossoming, please arrest, catch, seize all those things that could be spoilers to our love and marriage. That's the request that he's asking. And it is interesting that perhaps for us it would have made more sense if it was a woman asking the man. But interestingly, it is the man asking the woman. And perhaps it is because between the man and the woman, in the Middle East or in Palestine, those that would care more, that would give more care to a vineyard, were women and not men. So two things I would like you to see here. Number one, it is the request. It is the request that Solomon is making to his bride. And what is that request? Here is what he says in the first part of verse 15. He says, catch the foxes for us. Catch the foxes for us. And like I have mentioned, Solomon is borrowing the picture of a vineyard, cultivating the vineyard, and the threats that come towards that vineyard. And in this request, as he is using the picture of the vineyard, the metaphor of the vineyard to represent their love and their marriage, Solomon puts before his bride a request. Catch the foxes, seize the foxes, arrest the foxes. Now, what is it about these foxes that makes Solomon to actually make such a request? Well, the second part of verse 15 shows us the clarification that Solomon makes. Listen, he says, the little foxes that spoil the vineyard. Now, imagine the labor that is put in cultivating a vineyard. The labor that is involved in caring for the grape, that grapevine, that plant that produces grapes, the care that is given, the carefulness to actually make sure that you prune all those branches that seem not to show the potential of actually bearing fruit, in order that those that have potential to bear fruit may then remain and receive the necessary nutrients that they need in order to produce healthy grapes. And then after all that effort, after your grapes are now ready only to be eaten by foxes. So imagine the loss. And that's why Solomon here is, when he thinks about the vineyard, he compares it to the love that he shared with this woman. That now that our love has blossomed, now that our vineyard has blossomed and it is ready to bear fruit, please catch the foxes. And the foxes that spoil the vineyards. In other words, Solomon is saying, now that our love has blossomed, now that our love has matured, It is ready for us to move on to the next stage of our relationship. He says, catch the foxes, catch those things that have the potential to spoil our love, to spoil our marriage. So that's the request that Solomon is giving to his bride, catch the foxes. But number two, notice the reason. Why should she, why should the bride catch the foxes? Why should she guard this vineyard and care for it and protect it from the foxes? Well, listen to the latter part of verse 15. He says, for our vineyards are in blossom. In other words, that finally our labor, finally our effort that we have put in cultivating this vineyard, finally they are paying off because our vines have blossomed. The word blossom, it simply means to produce flowers. It is used of plants. When they are now producing flowers, when they flourish, that's another word. When it shows that now the plant has matured and it is ready to bear fruit, those are the flowers. And so Solomon looks at the vineyard and sees how this vineyard has blossomed, how this vineyard is now producing flowers, how this vineyard is now ready to produce fruit. He likens it to the love that he shares with this woman, the marriage that they are looking forward to. He looks at it and he compares it to the vineyard. And then henceforth he sends that request to the young lady. Catch the foxes for us. The foxes that spoil the vine. And why? For our vineyards are in blossom. In other words, what Solomon means here, he says that our love has grown. Our love has matured. Our love is now ready to bear fruit. Our love is now ready to give us the returns that we have invested in, that we have worked for. And so he says, catch the foxes. Those things that may tend to spoil our marriage, those things that are a threat to our love and our marriage, Solomon says, may they be arrested. May they be caught. May they be prevented to have access to our vineyard. And well, Gabriel and Brenda, or Mr. and Mrs. Kalichi now, but I haven't yet introduced you. The passage is a depiction of your journey. You two started somewhere, and whoever spotted the other, was it you? Popped the question, and the relationship started, and you nurtured that love together. And here it is. Your love has blossomed. Your love has matured. Your love has borne fruit. Today, you have been declared husband and wife. And this passage speaks to you that you should catch the foxes. You should catch the spoilers of love. You should seize the spoilers, those things that are a threat to marriage, those things that are a threat to your love, that they must be caught, and make sure that by all means they have no access to your love and to your marriage. So two lessons I would like you to see from here. Lesson number one is that it's a caution that is coming to you. It's a warning that is coming to you. And the warning is there is actually such a thing as spoilers. Spoilers of love and spoilers of marriage. That in other words, that if you're not going to be careful in the way that you will now carry yourselves as husband and wife, That if you're not going to be careful in the way that you will live, now that you are husband and wife, sharing the same house, sharing the same bed, and sharing almost everything, sharing your life together, that if you are not going to be careful, watch out, there are spoilers. There are spoilers, there are threats to your love and to your marriage. You know, marriage is an interesting thing. And here is how interesting it is. Marriage is where you have two people who are coming from two different backgrounds. Two different backgrounds. Two different experiences. Two different genders. Two different personalities, likes, preferences. Marriage brings you together to live under one roof. So you can imagine. And that's why Solomon, when he looks at how their love has blossomed, he's jealous about it. He wants their marriage to be guarded, their love to be guarded, and he pleads with his bride, catch the foxes, the little foxes that spoil the vineyards. So there are spoilers. They could be many, but I will take you through six of them. Six potential sources of conflict in marriage that if you don't handle these well, they will spoil your love. If you don't handle them well, they will spoil your marriage. If you don't handle these well, you will come back to the church and we will sit you down in the other room there to try and help. What is the problem? Six of them, and I'm sure you've gone through them in your premarital counseling, but I will take you through them again just for the sake of reminder. For the sake of reminding ourselves. Number one, poor communication. Poor communication. Our friends who have started communication, they say that you can actually divide communication in two categories, put communication in two categories. There is nonverbal communication. In other words, there is that which we say not by our words, but which we say by our signs and gestures and everything else. Nonverbal communication. And then there is verbal communication. And what is interesting is that between the two, 70% of communication is through nonverbal. 70%. In other words, we communicate more through what we are not saying. And verbal communication is only 30%. So, if you are not going to communicate well as husband and wife, you have problems. You have issues. Poor communication. Number two, it is wrong handling of finances. Wrong handling of finances. If you are not going to handle your finances well, you are going to be in constant friction. So there's no such a thing as your money is your money and her money. Usually it's her money is her money and your money is her money. There is no such a thing. It's your money is both of you, your money, and her money is both of you, your money. In other words, be transparent, be open in the way that you handle finances so that there are no any suspicions. You will have peace. Number three, it is the wrong handling of relatives. If you are not going to handle your relatives well in your home, you will have problems because you will begin to think, she will begin to think you are favoring your relatives and mistreating her relatives, and you will also think she favors her relative more and mistreats your relatives. So figure out what works out. For me, I deal with my wife's relatives, she deals with my relatives, so that there is no misunderstanding. So whatever works out for you, relatives, handle them well. Number four, it is the wrong handling of friends. Friends. Now, Gabriel, as Brenda has become your wife, today she becomes your very best friend. If there are best friends out there, she becomes number one. Your best friend. You will spend more time with her than any other. Because that's what marriage entails. You have become one. You have become one. In the eyes of God, you are one. Remember what the Bible says in Genesis 2:24. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. It is only in marriage where mathematics is wrong. 1 plus 1?
1.
Mathematics tells you 1 plus 1 is 2. Marriage, 1 plus 1 is 1. So she's you. She's your body. She's you. She's part of you. She's your friend. Your best friend. Actually, the second most important purpose of marriage is companionship. God saw that Adam was lonely and then resolved, I will make him a suitable help. So if you, the two of you, have become husband and wife and you live in your home and then you have you begin to entertain friends and continue to live as if you are not married, you have challenges, you have issues. So Brenda, let your friends know that you are now a married woman. And there are certain things that married women don't do. And Gabriel, the same. You can't marry and you want to continue living as if you were single. Our friends from the East say, can't never. It can't happen. Number five. It is the wrong handling of the marriage bed. Their children will not say much. But the wrong handling of the marriage bed, it can be a source of conflict. And so just make sure that as you relate to one another as husband and wife, you make sure each one, your needs are met and fully met, so that you have no temptation of leaving your own home, your own marriage bed, and seeking satisfaction elsewhere. Lastly, number six, it's the abuse of social media. Abuse of social media. Social media is good, but it has its own challenges, and especially to you and me and everyone else that is now husband and wife. Because, you know, I actually didn't know this. There's a syndrome that the psychologists call the scrolling syndrome, where you are just an addict. For you, whatever opportunity that you have is to sit, and you are just doing like that. And unfortunately, that can happen in your marriage, where that time when you need to sit, the two of you, and chat and just have a good time enjoying each other's company, you are on your smartphone, she's on her smartphone, she's on Facebook, you are on TikTok, you know. And you are growing apart because you are not giving each other the necessary time that is needed. So six potential spoilers of marriage. Watch out. Look out. So that's the first lesson. The first lesson we've seen, it's a warning that scripture is giving us here. There is such a thing as spoilers to love and spoilers to marriage. But the last lesson is, it's an encouragement that we are given. And the encouragement is, catch them. If they are there, catch them, arrest them. In other words, do everything that you can in your power to make sure that those foxes don't come any nearer to your love, any nearer to your marriage. Because remember, it is the nature of a fox to spoil the vineyard. So if you're not going to handle those six well, if you're not going to handle them well, you have challenges. Let me end with this. Tradition tells us that marriage is shipikisha club. No, it isn't. It isn't. Now, we are not saying that it will be all roses. We are not saying that you will not have challenges. You will. Because remember, it is two personalities coming together trying to live as one. Different backgrounds, different personalities, preferences and tastes. Marriage is a blessing. It is a blessing. And so that's the word that I bring to you. Catch the little foxes. The foxes that spoil the vine. For your love has blossomed. Your love has matured. Amen.